Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
For those that are brand new, we've been camped out in the Gospel of John, the book of John, for this is the sixth week. And next week, Easter Sunday, we'll finish the series. And what we're doing is we're just leaning into who Jesus is. We're just learning and relearning for many of us about Jesus. And we're looking at seven I am statements, one I am statement every week of who Jesus says he is. So we looked at Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world and so on. And today he's going to start John 15 verse 1 with the sixth I am statement that we've been studying. John 15 verse 1, here's what it says. Jesus talking, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that'll be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me. A lot of translations say it this way, abide in me. Remain in me, abide in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, if you abide in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Somebody shout nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, we love you so much, and thank you, God, for what you've already done in our services today. What an awesome thing it is to be in your house, to worship you, to celebrate. And God, even now, I just remember those families that were up here a moment ago. What a special moment that was, a holy moment unto you. And I just pray, God, over the next few minutes that your anointed word would go forth in power, that for the seasoned saint in the room and online, and also the first-time person, just brand new to Scripture, brand new to church, I pray for all of us, God, that we would learn from your word, that we would grow, that we would walk away with a couple of things that we can apply to our lives, God. Your word is so helpful. It's so useful. So I pray, God, you would encourage us in areas, but also maybe even challenge us in areas. Help us to be more like you. We love you, Jesus. It's in your mighty, matchless name we pray. Amen. Amen. For those that like to take notes in church, which I think is a great idea, the title of this message, this talk, is Connected. Connected. You could jot that down. Now, whether you like it or not, the main way that most of us, if not all of us, stay connected is through a cell phone, right? Like you may not like it, but it's the world we're living in. And really, no one has home phones anymore. Maybe a couple of you do, but probably not even just a couple. We got a cell phone, and it's our main phone. It's almost become like an extension of our bodies, hasn't it? And when you lose your phone, you get disconnected real quick. In fact, that happened to my wife, Isabel, sitting over here in this service. Happened to her a while back where she lost her phone. And if you ever lost your phone, it's a frustrating thing. And so she did, we did, what you've done, if you've ever been in that scenario before. And I'm calling for my phone, her phone, and we're trying to listen for it in the house. Right? You've done this before. Now, the problem was the ringer was not set on. It was on vibrate. And so we looked ridiculous going through our rooms as I called her phone, listening for vibrations in the house. But we couldn't find it anywhere. And so eventually we looked to the SUV to see if it had fallen in one of those black holes, you know, like in the side, a little beside, in between the seat and the console. Couldn't find it anywhere. Well, then we thought, you know what? We'll use that app, Find My iPhone. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Well, we'll use that. Well, that was a problem right there because we forgot the login for that app. We eventually figured it out. We logged in, and this is true. Here's what it said when we got into Find My iPhone. It said, your iPhone is too far away. Too far away. Thanks, Apple. But anyways, and so we didn't know what to do. And so I just gave her my phone for the day. She's a stay-at-home mom. I wanted to make sure she had a phone just for security reasons and just to be safe. And the problem was then I didn't have a phone, and it made it hard to stay connected. Now, true story, when our oldest child, Luke, who's 8 years old, when he came home from school, the cell phone miraculously popped up in his backpack. And I know what you're thinking, oh, he probably would have liked to use it, but he don't know our passwords. In fact, he's been asking us for a phone. Our four-year-old daughter has been asking us for a phone too. Y'all know we tell them, no, no, get a job, right? Like do something, contribute to the family. Did he really say that? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But we're like, no. And by the way, if your kid's got a phone, like once we had more than one kid, we stopped judging parents. Because in parenting, sometimes you're not thriving. A lot of times you're just surviving. Can I get an amen from a few parents? It's like I thought I was going to be a perfect parent until I had more than one kid. And then now that we have three, it's zone defense, baby. We are outmanned. But anyways, so I don't know how it got in his backpack. Maybe the two younger kids, our two daughters, maybe they put it there. I don't know. But we finally got it back. But again, that whole day, it was hard for us to stay connected. And the reason why I bring that up is because this is the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about with himself and his disciples. And of course, they didn't have cell phones back then, but he uses imagery that they would definitely understand, and that was vineyards, that was grapevines. And so Jesus, knowing that he is just moments away from dying on the cross, that's Good Friday, knowing that he's moments away from that, but not just that, after Jesus died on the cross, 3 days later, he rose from the dead. That's Easter for us. Not only that, he spent about 40 days or so in his resurrected body here on earth, and then he ascended to be at the right hand of the Father where he still is today. So Jesus knows that the time is coming to an end where he'll be in close proximity physically with his followers. He knows that they are about to feel disconnected, and that's why he says, because this is happening, and we're going to happen, about to happen, you can still stay connected to me because I am the true vine. Which, by the way, and I don't have time for it, but that will preach right there, because he didn't just say, I am the vine. He says, I am the true vine, meaning there are false vines. Now, I wish I had time, Isabel, but I don't. But he said, I am the true vine. So he's saying to them, his original disciples, and also to you and me, if you're trying to follow Jesus, that even though we may not be close physically in proximity to him, we can still stay connected to him. We can still be close. We can still abide in him, remain in him. And Jesus, being the awesome God that he is, he gives us two benefits of staying connected to him, the real vine. And I'm gonna give them to you very quickly today. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Jesus says the first reason, the first benefit to stay connected to him, the true vine, is pruning. If you're taking notes in church, jot that down. Pruning. He says this in verse 2. We already read it. John 15, verse 2. He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, I think it'd be really helpful not just to study what Jesus said, but where he said it. We've been doing that this series, and I think it's been fresh revelation for many, because you maybe know the verses or the I am statements if you grew up in church, but maybe you didn't know the location. And Jesus, being the genius that he is, he would always use his surroundings to help illustrate the truth that he was trying to get across to his disciples. And so as you study history and study the context, as you study what just happened, the dinner, the Last Supper, and also as you study what was about to happen in the garden as he was betrayed by one of his disciples, Judas, there's some space in between that, more than likely, putting together context clues, we don't know because I wasn't there and you weren't there. Like, okay, but like we can assume, in fact, it's highly probable, highly likely, that on the place and the movement from the dinner to the garden, that Jesus, when he gives this I am statement, he is standing in front of the temple gate. Why is that important? Here's why. Back in Jesus's day, at the top of the temple gate, the entrance to the church building, you could say it that way, at the top of the gate, there was a beautiful golden vine that went across. But not just that, there were golden grapes on that golden vine. And so perhaps, and I believe this, perhaps Jesus, as he's walking with his disciples, he stops in front of the temple gates, and gleaming in the lantern light, there's that golden vine and the golden grapes. And Jesus says, I am the true vine. Not just that, but that would have been on one side if he was saying it there. Here's what would have been on the other side, a hillside with actual vineyards. So sandwiched between, are you picturing it in your mind? It's beautiful, it's powerful. Sandwiched between him and his disciples, you have a golden vine, a golden vineyard, golden grapes, and then you've got a real vineyard, real grapes. And Jesus again says, I am the true vine. I don't know about y'all, but that illuminates it for me. It's powerful. I am the true vine. And Jesus goes through and talks about stuff they would have known very, very intently. And maybe you don't know, maybe you know vineyards, but maybe you don't. And Jesus would use that. And he talks about pruning. And pruning, especially if you're not familiar with it, it's essentially this. It's a cutting away. It's a removing of anything that would hinder growth. Anything that would cause a branch to be less fruitful, maybe even has a little bit of fruit on it, but anything that would be a hindrance to growth, pruning cuts it away, removes it. I'll say it to you this way. Pruning, it is painful, but it's also purposeful. There's a cutting that takes place. It's a removing of something, but it's also got a purpose, because when you prune a branch on a vine, it can actually be more productive. It can do more. But first, there's got to be a cutting away. And if you read the original language, when Jesus says to prune, the original language actually means this: to clean or to cut. To clean or to cut. And so how does that relate to my life, Pastor? Here's how. Oftentimes, when we go through a pruning, something being removed or taken away from our lives, we are quick to blame it on the devil. Oh, the devil did it. I didn't get that promotion. It was the devil. Diablo. It was him. He did it. Or, oh, it was just dumb luck. Just my boss being crazy, you know? Like, so often we deflect when something's removed or we don't get something that we wanted. But can I just encourage you from Jesus that maybe it wasn't the devil, maybe it was actually God. Because there's seasons in our life where he prunes us. Like, maybe it's not even just something bad. It could be bad. It could be sin. That's got to be cut away, and of course. But it could be something that's not even bad, but God wants to remove it because he's got something better for you. And we're limited to the now. Oh, I wanted that relationship to continue. I wanted that thing to happen. I wanted that. We wanted that house. We wanted this. We wanted that. And we are so limited. But God can see what that promotion would have looked like a month from now, a year from now. Yeah, you made more money, but it hurts your family. Y'all with me? Like, God, like, there's times in our lives. Don't be so quick to say someone else is doing something to you. It could be God. Sometimes there's necessary endings in our lives, because God wants to bring about a new beginning. Amen, church? So there's a pruning, there's a cleaning. I could say more, but I'm running out of time. There's a cutting away, and it's actually, it's not hurtful, it's helpful. Yes, it's painful, but it is not punishment. It is a good God saying, I want something better for you. You want that, but I do not want that for you. I want something best for you. Amen? All right, here's the second thing quickly. Number two. So number one was pruning. Number two is production. And this is for followers of Jesus, disciples. I know not everybody's following Jesus. I get that. And by the way, you are so welcome here. It's a place where you can learn and grow and discover. And that's awesome. You are welcome here always, always, always. But this point is specifically geared toward us that are trying to follow Jesus, that are running after the Lord. And it's production. That's the second reason, second benefit to stay connected to Jesus. Verse 5, John 15, again, already read it. Jesus says, if you remain in me, if you abide in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, remember I had you shout this, apart from me, you can do nothing. Break down that word. You can do no thing. Nada. Zip. Zilch. Nothing. And so here's what this means. That if you feel like you did something outside of God, it's actually not real fruit, it's fake fruit. And it won't last. And how can you say that? Because Jesus said it. Apart from me, it is nothing. It is nothing. It's not just an okay thing. It's nothing. But in Jesus, connected to Jesus, we can actually be productive. And this is so, so important. Because Jesus tells us that our job, his disciples, is not just taking in life from the vine, but there should be some fruit developed from our life on the vine. I'm going to say that again. Jesus tells us it's not just taking in life from the vine, but there should be some fruit developed from our life on the vine. Like at some point, for us that are, we say, yeah, I'm a disciple of Jesus. At some point, it's got to move past head knowledge and lead to a heart change. I know a lot of Bible scholars from Bible college back in the day that, man, they knew scripture. They could quote it backwards and forwards. I mean, just incredible. The original language. They memorized like 1,000. I mean, just so much. But yet it did not lead to a life change. And Jesus says those things actually don't go together. If it's real, as you learn and as you grow, it can't help but make its way out of your life to touch someone else. If you are truly connected to Jesus, you will live different. You will bear fruit. And what does he say at the very end? And people will know you're my disciples. So here's what that means. Yeah, like preaching is important. What I'm doing right now is very important. And we don't just preach just with a message on Sunday. Our lives will preach a message. All that stuff's really important. But Jesus says, hey, if you remain in me, if you abide in me, if you stay close, connected to me, it will be obvious to your neighbors, to your friends, to your family, that there's something different about you. Well, how will they know? Because you will bear much fruit. And you didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. You could strive all you want. But your job, my job, is just to stay connected. It's God's job to bring about the fruit. Like, think about it logically. There's never been a branch in the history of the world that's like, oh, I want to bear fruit so bad. Gotta work for it. Oh, pop. You know, and then there's grapes. That's not how it works. No one recorded that, right? But like, that's not how it works. Our job is to stay connected to Jesus, and then the fruit starts popping up all over the place. Like it just comes supernaturally. What's the fruit, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Galatians 5. Some of you know this passage. Some of you memorized it when you were a kid back in the day. Or some kind of VBS, Vacation Bible School, or Junior Bible Quiz, or all the different things that, like, but it's so good. And we did a whole series on these next two verses, Galatians 5. Did a whole series on it a couple summers ago because it's so good. But here's what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Which, by the way, notice that it's singular fruit. There's one fruit. It's got all these different shades and all these different facets and flavors. But it's one fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. Nobody talks like that anymore. That's a fancy word for patience, okay? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We all want us some of that, whether you love Jesus or not, right? Those are all really good things. But you do not produce them. It's not about your effort. It's about you and I staying connected to Jesus, the real vine, the true vine. And so I just want to challenge you, and we're going to pray. I want to challenge you. The next 7 days leading up to Easter Sunday, like, don't wait for Easter weekend to get close to God. You got 7 days. Each day, and even start today, but each day, spend a little time with the Lord. It's not about length, it's about consistency. Just a few minutes. Read the verse of the day. Pray about that verse that you read. You know, put on worship music in your commute to work tomorrow or school if you're going in, which a lot of people are now. Like, talk radio is not bad. I listen to sports talk radio. Like, secular music is not necessarily bad. Obviously, some of the stuff it says is not. But I'm just saying, regardless, just put on some worship music for a little bit. These are practical ways that you and I can stay connected. Now, if you're already connected, then do more than that. But if it's been a little while, remember, branches don't do good on their own. On their own, what happens? They wither, they die, and they're thrown in the fire. God does not want that for you or me. And so we got to stay connected. And as you stay, you're going to see it right away. As you stay connected to Jesus the next 5 to 7 days, you're going to notice the fruit of the Spirit popping up everywhere. In your marriage, when you would have defaulted to anger, there's going to be a little bit more grace. With your kids, But you want to shout, why are you demon-possessed? Help me, Lord. There's going to be a little bit more kindness. Y'all with me, Christ Covenant? It's going to pop. And then the longer you stay connected, the bigger the fruit gets. And the more often they start showing up. Remember, that's not your job. Your job, my job, is to stay connected for pruning, but also for production. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For this sixth I am statement. That you are the true vine, the real vine. I pray, God, that we would not be so quick when we have pruning in our lives to say it was the devil or just some random coincidence. Maybe, just maybe, it's you. It can be painful, but it's not punishment. It's purposeful. In fact, you can even ask God that right now. God, the pain that I'm experiencing, is it pruning? And he's faithful to answer that prayer. God, I pray for those that have been trying to work and strive to produce fruit. I pray we would realize that stuff's fake. It ain't gonna last. It's not real. But if we'll stay connected to you practically, starting today and moving forward towards Easter, that's when we'll see more fruit in our lives, because you bring the fruit supernaturally. And the longer and the more often that we stay connected to you, the bigger and the better the fruit. And that's your heart for us. You said much fruit. And people will know that we follow you because of the fruit in our lives. And I pray lastly for anybody in the room and online that's far from you. Today is their day to connect to you, the true vine, the real vine. You can do that right now in the room and online. You can give your heart and your life to Jesus. You can whisper to him, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my past. I give you my present. I give you my future. Jesus, I surrender all. I believe, Jesus, that you died on the cross. I know it takes faith, but I confess that to you right now. I believe. I have faith that you died on the cross and that you rose from the dead. And what's coming up this weekend is not some random Christian holiday that's been commercialized, but it actually happened. It's real history. That you died so I could be forgiven of my sin, but you didn't stay dead. You are alive so that I can have victory. And so, Jesus, I ask you, you can whisper this to him right now. It's so important that you do. Jesus, I ask you, would you forgive me of my sin? I can't save myself, but you have the power to save me. Thank you, God, for those that are committing or maybe even recommitting their life to you. Thank you for those that are connecting to the real vine, the true vine. We love you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.